broadcasting from the UNMC College of Nursing. Get ready for RN Huddle, the podcast dedicated to bringing hot topics for and by nurses to the table.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to RN Huddle. This is your host, Heidi Keeler, coming to you from the UNMC College of Nursing, Omaha, Nebraska. Today, we have a really exciting show for you. We want to talk about the differences of nursing in different countries. And so we have a great experience in nursing here in the United States, but I wonder how much we actually think about what it's like to transfer those nursing skills across the globe. And so to help us with this topic and to explore this a little deeper, we invited back one of our very special guests, Kate Bolter. And Kate is, as you recall in one of our previous episodes, is the nurse manager for the Nebraska Biocontainment Unit. And we spent a long time before talking about the infection control journey that Kate has had, and she got to tell us a lot about that as a career field. But we were really intrigued by Kate's story, and so we invited Kate back to tell us a little bit about her nursing journey. So Kate, welcome back.
Hi, Heidi. It's definitely a pleasure to be back chatting with you.
Yes, we were so intrigued by the nuggets that you gave us in our last episode about starting your nursing career in the UK. And we just thought that it would be a really great topic to kind of dive into that further and hear more of your personal and professional story. And then maybe compare and contrast a little bit about experiences and healthcare systems.
Sounds great.
Awesome. Okay, so to start off, Kate, why don't you tell us a little bit about why you decided to go to nursing school and what that decision was like for you as a younger person?
Oh my goodness, that was a decision that I actually made when I was in high school. And in the UK, what happens in high school is by the time you get into your third year of high school, you should know, you should have some sort of idea on what career path you're going to follow. And for me, that meant nursing. I decided I wanted to be a nurse. My mum was a nurse. My grandmother was a nurse. And my great-grandmother was a nurse. And I just, thought that, that was exactly what I wanted to do. So that meant that I wouldn't go with the business side of classes in high school, and I would instead go into all the science-based classes. And that was really the start of my career, I guess, as a nurse, because, one of the topics that we had to do was APH, which is, anatomy, physiology, and health. And I just loved it. And I knew then that, nursing was definitely going to be the career for me. And during those classes, I was also able to go to some nursing homes and volunteer. And being able to help people was definitely something that I really enjoyed doing. So, right from the get-go, I knew that nursing was for me, and that's what I was going to do.
So therein is a difference right there. I think in most high schools here in the United States, it's very prescribed curriculum, and there's not a whole lot of room for extra classes or electives. But we do have some high schools that have academies where you can start specializing like that. So there's a difference and a similarity there.
Yeah, very, very, very different. One of the things that we did in our high school as well back in the UK, you sit, and this was a long time ago when I was in high school. But the first thing you sit was O levels. And that's, I guess you could say it was your ordinary level. And those were certificates that you got to say that you can either graduate from high school at 16 and move on to maybe a trade school, or you would stay and you would take your A levels. That would get you into university. So back when I was there, I sat my O levels and had those at 17. And back then, I didn't need A levels to get into nursing school, but it wasn't really called nursing school. It was what was it called? Nursing house, or it was a house where you went and lived and you learned to be a nurse. And it wasn't degree programs back then either. So I had my O-levels, and that allowed me to get into a nurse training program. So very, very different from what you see over here. But of course, nowadays in the UK, nursing is degree based. And so you would have to stay and take your A-levels in high school. That would be another 2 years. So you would graduate at 18, as you do here in the United States, and then you would move on to university. One of the things that I found here as well is that in nursing school here, the first year especially, they seem to do a lot of like general education topics. Whereas in the UK, from the get-go in nursing school, you're doing purely nursing education. So it would be, you know, your psychology class wouldn't be in general. It would be psychology of nursing care and sociology of nursing care, things like that. Any kind of humanities that you need to get into nursing school in the UK, you do that before you even apply.
That's so very interesting. I know the O-level courses and that idea. My 16-year-old son right now would find that great.
You're right.
He would love to be able to say, I'm done. But in the universities here, nurses have to take at least 1 year of prereqs. And in the case of UNMC, they take 2 years of prereqs, and then they go into their intensive nursing training. So there's some differences there too.
Yeah, a lot of differences. But, you know, I think at the end of the day, we still produce great nurses.
Right, right. And so, Kate, tell us about what it was like when you went to the nursing house and you got into your classes.
My career, actually. I'm sorry, Heidi. Yeah, I steered you wrong on that. So although I had at that time, I was able to get into, you know, it was what it was titled. It was Faud House, F-A-U-D House. And it was in Dunfermline, the town that I went to high school in. But they wouldn't let me in quite so early, because when I sat my O-levels and I was ready, I sat them earlier than I should have done. And so they wanted me to wait until I got a little older. But instead of that, I joined the Royal Air Force instead. And so it was a few years before I actually went to nursing school. So when I did, I needed to first get my A-levels so that I could go to university. I know, sorry, I steered you wrong on that.
Well, that's okay, because it's just another fascinating deviation on your overall path. And so when you were in the Royal Air Force, did you do anything related to nursing or healthcare?
I did not. I actually was too young to get into their nursing program as well. So I joined as a transportation so that I could get a driver's license, because that's another difference in the United Kingdom, is that high school kids don't have driver's licenses and don't drive cars. And so I thought that would be a great way for me to learn to drive, get a license, and then I would, you know, what they called it, remustering. Then I would, you know, remuster into the Princess Margaret's nursing service.
Wow, how interesting.
That would have been a great plan if I'd stuck to it. But instead of that, met my husband. I enjoyed, you know, being a girl driving trucks and buses and all kinds of things. So I did that for about 7 years. And then, of course, got married, had kids, and, you know, went to school, nursing school later in life.
You know, we actually see that here in the United States too, with the advent of a lot of people wanting to switch careers and, you know, not choosing nursing right away. We have accelerated programs here where if you have a degree or you have a prior certificate or something like that, you can just take 1 year of nursing and intensive nursing and then become a nurse. Was it like that for you, or did you have to go through?
No, it was not like that for me. So yeah, I could have kicked myself at that time, because, you know, going back to nursing school meant I had to do the whole thing. And that really meant a whole 4 years at that time was my program. There was no accelerated courses that I could choose, unless I wanted to get a certificate of nursing, which wouldn't have been degree based. It's still a registered nurse, but it wouldn't have done me any good coming to the States.
So you got your nursing degree later in life. Did you start working once you got the degree over in the UK?
I did.
And
Yeah.
what was that like for you?
It was great. You know, I was super proud to be a nurse. I worked at a hospital called the Churchill. It's in Oxford in the UK. And it used to be an old American hospital that was used during the war to, you know, take care of American soldiers. And then, of course, after the war, it got converted into a national health hospital, which is something that's completely different in the UK, which is, you know, that all the hospitals mostly are national health. We have a few private hospitals, but not very many. They're just run very differently from what they are here, and a huge difference in that as well. I'm not sure if we've got time to really go into a lot of those things, but it was really good. I really enjoyed it. I mean, I feel like I got a great start to my nursing career. In the UK, there was a lot of autonomy, you know, a lot of decisions that, you know, I was able to make that I'm not able to make here. But it was definitely a huge learning curve.
So you became a nurse and worked for how long before you started considering the transition to the United States?
About 3 years.
And so what type of nursing did you do at the Churchill?
Yeah, I did their renal nursing, which would, you know, just like here, you know, if you've got a kidney unit, back there, specialties are split. You take care of everything in one area. So I did renal nursing. So that meant that anybody who was at any stage of their renal failure, we took care of them on our ward. And so that meant that, you know, people that were just facing the beginnings of renal failure, we were able to see them through the entire process to help them decide what kind of eventual dialysis they would need to, you know, would they be going for transplant? And we took care of them as well, all in the same area. So that was kind of nice. During my education, I did some education on the chest unit. So that meant that anybody with any condition, breathing, asthma, cystic fibrosis, they were all taken care of in the same place.
That would be like our
So,
cardiorespiratory tele units, right?
yeah, kind of like that. But we also took care of them regardless of how critical they were. So although we do have ICUs in the UK, on our wards, our specialty wards, so on our renal ward, we had a bay of about, I think there was about 6 beds there, and those were HDU beds, which are our high dependency unit area, that we took care of those patients. So, you know, it wouldn't be unusual to take care of a patient that was on a ventilator without being in an ICU.
And so you could have a load of less acute patients, or you could be in the HDU taking care of one or two.
Correct. Yeah. And we also didn't have respiratory therapists. I don't think that's a career field in the UK even now. So, you know, we had to do our ventilator management or even inhalers and things like that. We had to do that ourselves.
I see. And so, with the 3 years of experience that you had on those units, you definitely were well accustomed to the national health system and how that ran. Walk us through what happened when you transitioned to the United States. What happened with that journey?
The reason that we actually came back is because my husband was in the military and we got assigned back in the United States. So I was coming with him. By this time, also, I was already an American citizen. So being able to sit the CGF&S at that time, you know, that just wasn't an option. And what CGF&S is that's for any foreign nurse that wants to come work in the United States as a nurse. They sit an exam. It's much like the NCLEX, but it's called Certificate of Graduation from a Foreign Nursing School. So, you know, that wasn't even on my radar at the time. And then, you know, when we got to Nebraska, when I applied to, you know, see about getting a license here, I was told, oh, you can't unless you've got the CGFNS. And I said, okay, well, I'll sit that. Well, to be able to sit that, that it wasn't so easy. You could, you know, I think Chicago was the closest place that I could go do it, or I could go back to the UK and do it there. So I said, And it was somebody at the nursing boards who said to me, well, instead of doing the CGFNS, you can also apply to a different state that doesn't require CGFNS. And you can sit their NCLEX, and then you can just endorse that to a Nebraska license. So I thought, okay, that sounds like a great deal. Well, then at that time, California was the only state that, you know, I could apply to that would even consider it. So I applied and was told, sure, you can sit our NCLEX, but let us look at your education first. So then they looked at my education. And, you know, mainly it was because of the wording, I guess, but they were like, okay, you don't have enough obstetrics and you don't have enough mental health, and we'd need you to take those classes. So then I looked at UNMC and asked them, can I do these classes? And they were like, yeah, sure, but, you know, you'll have to do all these prerequisites first. So it was almost like going back to nursing school. So I protested a little bit with the California state boards. And I had my school write a letter to them as well, you know, detailing the education that they put us through for the entire 4 years. And I also wrote to the governor. And then just one day out of the blue, I got the authority to test, and thankfully was able to pass that without any problems.
That sounds very challenging. And I wonder if everyone that is educated elsewhere has such a long, arduous journey in order just to be able to practice.
No, I mean, for most people, they may have known about the CGFNS, and so they would sit that in their, you know, respective countries, and then come to the States and then apply to sit the NCLEX. So, you know, it's not an easy process. One of the things that I found as well was after I got my nurse license and I'm working as a nurse, my manager came to me and said, you know, would you be willing to see this new nurse and orient her to the floor and precept her? And I was like, of course, sure. It was a little hard, you know, this was a nurse who didn't have a degree. She had a diploma, and it was, she didn't have to sit the CGFNS. You know, she'd come from a country where we were actually recruiting nurses from, and, you know, brought them over with the intention of getting them working as nurses and then getting them through their degree program. I thought, wow, you know, if only that could have happened to me, it could have been so easy without me going through all the stress.
That doesn't sound like that gets standardized.
Yeah, it should be. But, you know, it all worked out in the end. And, you know, I probably learned a lot through the process as well.
So tell us, Kate, about what it was like to practice in the United States. How is it different? You had mentioned that maybe some of the terminology is different. Why don't you walk us through a story or two where that was obvious to you?
Yeah. So when I started working here and I was, you know, assigned a preceptor, I would ask him for things, you know, like, I need nasal specs. And he was like, oh, what is that? And that's actually nasal cannula. I would ask, you know, for a patient that was going to have surgery, I would ask, you know, what time the theater was going to be at. Because in the UK, surgeries are called theater. And here, you know, I had to get used to calling it the operating room. Little things as well, you know, like the ward in the UK, they're all wards, but over here, they're all units. The emergency department, that is the A&E in Britain. So it's an accident and emergency, and it's just called that. So there was lots of different terminology like that, but actually doing the actual nursing job, it was very different. For one thing, you know, it was getting used to wearing scrubs and as opposed to my nurse uniform that we wore in the UK. That was very different, you know, and I irreverently likened scrubs to pajamas at that time. I was like, all right, got to put my pajamas on and go to work.
I know what you mean, because I also served in the military, and we had the choice between wearing, at the time it was BDUs, now it's something different, you know, the camo or the white nursing uniform. Never would you ever wear anything else. And so that was a transition for me even here.
Right. It is. And it doesn't sound like a big thing, but it is. It does make you feel
it
a little
did
bit
feel
different.
Like a big thing.
Yeah. In the UK, we were white as well. You know, we could either wear a white dress with it was a blue belt. And then we had these silver belt buckles that we would all purchase to fasten our belts with. And they look kind of fancy and ornate. Next time I see you, Heidi, I might show it to you. But it's it looks like a fairy gate. It's all swirls and it's made out of silver. Everybody had one. And you know, that was always our pride and joy, was our belt and our watches as well. You know, we never wore a watch on our wrist. And you know, that was for infection control reasons. All our watches were pinned to our uniform, so they were like fob watches.
Interesting. So you said that the nursing was different. Do you think that the nursing was different because of the health systems, or was there something else that you noticed?
Yeah, I would say it was definitely the health system. So one thing I did notice when I got here right away, the first thing was everything was much better quality. The name bands that go around your patient's wrist, you know, it sounds silly, but they were just made from better quality plastic. The sheets over here, you know, you have a bottom sheet that's fitted and then a top sheet. But in the UK, they're all top sheets, and your bottom sheet would be going, you know, the laundry, and then your top sheet would become your bottom sheet. And then you would give your patients a new top sheet every day, unless it was soiled, of course. We called it top and tailing the beds. So there was that. But nursing overall, it is a different system. You know, it's run by the National Health, so we don't have to get insurance to agree to things all the time. So nurses had a little bit more autonomy, and I could order, you know, cultures on a urine if I felt like this looks a little cloudy and this patient might have a urine infection. Whereas I had to get used to over here saying to the doctor, I suspect this patient might have a urine infection, and then having this conversation as to whether or not we're going to put in a test to check on that.
Oh, yes, Kate, so this is definitely the difference between a medical model based system and a population management based system. And we could have an entire episode just on that.
Oh, definitely, for sure. And discharging a patient as well. Back in the UK, our physicians would, you know, write the discharge order, but that didn't necessarily mean that the patient was going home. Whereas here, the doctor writes a discharge order and that patient's going home today. Yeah, in the UK, then, you know, it's then up to the nurse to, you know, collaborate with OT, PT, anybody else, and find out, you know, is this going to be safe for this person to go home?
Oh, so, imagine that.
It may actually result in the fact that we have a lot of what we call bed blockers in our hospital, because we want to make absolutely sure that that patient's going home safely. Oh, medications. There's another thing that was different in the UK, because the National Health paid for all of that. So my patient over here said to me, I've got all these prescriptions, which one's absolutely necessary because I can't afford them all. Jaw dropped. And I was like, gosh, I don't know what to tell you on this, you know, because back in the UK, before patients would discharge home, if they had medications, we got them and we handed them to them before they left. So yeah, things are very, very different. But that doesn't mean that, you know, in the UK, it doesn't have its problems. It's not as rosy as I'm making it sound right now.
Well, again, I'm sure we could have an entire discussion about more of these differences. But I want to ask you, based on your experience, what would you say to nurses who are educated in other countries? Is there any pieces of advice or anything else that you want to say about that?
If somebody was coming here to work as a nurse, I think I would reassure them, first of all, that they're going to have a great experience. You know, I really love the preceptorship programs that we have here in our hospitals. We didn't have that as much in the UK. It was about 2 weeks, I think, I had of orientation. But over here, we put a lot of emphasis in making sure our nurses are doing a great job and are prepared to take care of patients. So that would be one of the first things I would tell them. And to just not lose heart as well. I almost felt like throwing in the towel, you know, trying to get a license here. I'm glad that I had a supportive family that helped me through that process. And, you know, I stuck with it and I used whatever resource I could find out there.
Well, I do know that we need more nurses, and we certainly don't want to continue to put up barriers for people to come in and serve as a nurse. So we really appreciate you telling our listeners your story and, you know, making us think a little bit about, you know, think outside of our own bubbles just a little bit.
Yeah, I enjoyed, you know, just remembering all those days again. I think the good thing is that it's, once you're a nurse, regardless of where you get your education, you've got the skills to adapt. And it's been a great process.
I would definitely agree with that. Nurses are definitely adaptable, and we do what we need to do to make sure our patients are safe. To our listeners, this is, of course, just a part of Kate's story. We know from our last conversation that she ended up getting specialized education as an infection control nurse and now is in charge of the Nebraska Biocontainment Unit, which has a big place in national security and isolation of very dangerous microbes and pathogens. So thank you for the rest of the story, Kate. We truly appreciate it.
You're welcome, Heidi. It was great talking to you.
Yes, absolutely. You too. Thank you, Kate. Well, that's all we have for this episode of RN Huddle. I definitely encourage you listeners to go back and listen to Kate's first episode, where she talks about the biocontainment journey and some of the very fascinating components of that career path. And as always, we welcome your thoughts on different topics, because after all, RN Huddle is for nurses by nurses, and we do this for you. So thank you so much for listening. We hope to catch you on the next episode of RN Huddle.
Thank you for listening to RN Huddle. To stay connected, follow us on Twitter and Facebook at UNMCCNE, or check out unmc.edu/CNE for more program information.